CSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Iran attacks Israel. Money. Where does the money come from that Iran can bankroll Hamas, bankroll Hezbollah, build rockets, and at the same time maintain its status in the region as a predator? I welcome Andrea Stricker of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, writing most recently. The source of the money is no surprise. Energy. How much money? What about sanctions? Andrea, very good evening to you. We will discuss the scary part in a moment. That would be the atomic weapons suspect program. But to begin with, even the atomic weapons program, if it exists, where it exists, costs money. Where is Iran getting the money under the heavy sanctions of these last years? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me. The Biden administration has really pulled its punches with regard to countering a range of Iran's escalatory actions throughout the president's term in office. But one of the key areas we've seen and the most lucrative source of revenue for the regime is through the non-enforcement of U.S. sanctions on Iran's petroleum exports. Just last month, Iran boosted oil exports to around 1.8 million barrels per day and hit a five-year high of production. So from oil alone, we estimate that it has earned upwards of $100 billion since Biden took office. And they're also exporting record quantities of liquefied petroleum gas and becoming the top seller in the region. So many are asking, why is Washington underwriting Tehran's attacks, including the regime's first direct attack on Israel in the regime's history? The whole range of other attacks by its proxies and attacks on U.S. troops and global shipping. And then we have to respond to this. So it's frankly just policy madness.
Yes, follow the money is one way to talk about a predator state. They can't afford aggression unless the cash is coming in. And from Andrea's explication, it's pouring in from China, for example, or India, or other buyers of Iranian oil. However, what is that oil? What is that money buying? We come now to an area where Andrea has been very helpful over the years, but this is very scary. Iran shuts nuclear facilities, reads the headline in the Telegraph in London, and cancels inspections amid fears of Israeli attack. Subhead, UN reveals move as experts warn Tehran could be just months from building the first nuclear weapon. We can all imagine what that attack on Saturday night would have looked like if one of those missiles was carrying a nuclear warhead. Where are they with their enriched uranium? The last time we talked, I believe it was somewhere in the 60%. Thank you.
John, they have dramatically advanced as the Biden administration has attempted to reach a new nuclear deal or revive diplomacy with the regime. As you mentioned, they're at 60%, which is just a stone's throw from 90%, which is what you need for atomic weapons. And over the weekend, it looks like Iran closed its nuclear facilities to the UN inspectors. They said it was for security considerations. Now, we can all imagine that perhaps the regime was being proactive in case Israel decided to strike its nuclear facilities in retaliation. So maybe it wanted to keep the inspectors safe. But I also fear that this is a rehearsal for shutting out inspectors and using some kind of a justification like security concerns in order to go to weapons grade. And we'd have very little warning and very little time to act if they did that.
The nuclear weapons program is in parts of the country very deep underground. I remember Fordo being one of the names. It's been several years since I could remember them all. They were built underground because they are expecting to be attacked, because they've been attacked before. What is their explanation for why they're hiding or burying their nuclear weapons, their uranium projects?
Well, it is for security. They've been attacked on a number of occasions. They've had centrifuge facilities sabotaged or they've exploded. They've also had the Stuxnet attack, a malware back in the early to mid-2000s that destroyed a range of centrifuges. So they are concerned about sabotage and destruction. They have the Fordow nuclear facility, which is buried deep under a mountain. They have Natanz, which is underground. It's more accessible to bombs. And they have another facility that we fear could be an enrichment plant in the mountains near Natanz, and it would be under a mountain as well, and more deeply buried than Fordow, and perhaps not accessible to the biggest bunker buster bombs.
When the reports, and I'm looking at London, warn that Iran is on the threshold, what does that mean if there's anxious about Iran accelerating? We've talked about it in terms of days and weeks. Is that where we are, threshold?
Threshold, we would say, is a state being on the nuclear threshold means that it is essentially could break out of its nuclear non-proliferation obligations more quickly than we could perhaps detect or stop. So Iran has the ability to make its first quantity of weapons-grade uranium in under 7 days. And then it could produce another 12 weapons worth in under 5 months. So they're very close. And I think what we're seeing from the Biden team is concern that if they counter any of Iran's aggressive actions across the board, that Iran will go to 90% and go over the threshold. But we're seeing Tehran do this anyway. It's just amassing more enriched uranium and advancing its program and just doing it more slowly.
The inspectors have been asked to leave or for their own safety. What are the inspectors achieving then? I recall our last conversation was about cameras that were not reinstalled. So what clarity do we have on the program now?
Well, Iran has dramatically limited monitoring since around 2021. While it was negotiating a nuclear deal with the Biden administration. The IAEA has reduced visibility into the program. It is still allowed to visit the nuclear sites that house and produce nuclear material. So that is a positive. They don't have cameras working at many of the associated sites, like where the regime produces centrifuges. And that's really concerning because they could simply stockpile advanced fast centrifuge machines and put them at a secret site and no one would have any idea.
So what we're looking at is the unknown. There is no transparency whatsoever. They could have anything.
There's limited transparency. Thankfully, there is still UN inspections. But we need to be concerned about future efforts to shutter the facilities to try to keep the inspectors out and say, well, it's because Israel might be counterattacking. I think in that case, the Biden administration and its European partners need to get really serious about what the regime could be up to and how quickly it could break out of its obligations.
And your understanding, the regime has gone forward with this suspect nuclear weapons program for many years, despite the protestations of its neighbors and of the United Nations. It was always understood to me as a way of provoking others, not actually building a bomb. Has that changed, Andrea?
Well, we just don't know. We see that they may have continued some of their weaponization work. That's the step after you produce the nuclear fuel. That's what they had planned to do as of 2003, but just do it in a more dispersed and discreet fashion. We don't know what progress they've made in the meantime. And they certainly have enjoyed the benefits of being at the threshold, but without going over and making nuclear weapons. My concern is that their penchant for risk-taking seems to have gone up as the U.S. and its European partners have not pushed back at its aggressive action, and they may try to go for nuclear weapons over the next year.
When you first heard of the missile and drone attack on Israel, what did you think about the atomic weapons program? It was always the general understanding that the reason North Korea has an atomic weapons program and the reason Ukraine regrets having given up its atomic weapons is that it guarantees continuity in the administration, in the regime, whatever is in place. Do you think that Iran already has the confidence of having a weapon and we don't know about it?
I think we have to assume that they have confidence. They had already made a great deal of progress in making nuclear weapons by 2003 when they started to hide and disperse the program. We don't know what kind of progress they've made in the interim, but I think we need to assume that anytime enriched uranium goes missing or the facilities are closed to inspectors that it could be just several months until they could actually detonate a weapon, because that's the kind of progress they could have made in the interim.
Andrea Stricker of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, what we don't know about Iran's nuclear weapons program. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.